Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, we've been hearing more and more about smart homes, and we're going to take a look at that, a little closer look at that on the show right now with our guest, George Webster. George is a general manager of Cease Electronics, works out of Appleton, and we'll talk with him about how his company is making all sorts of homes smart. And we're talking here both new and old construction. So, question for you, which smart home devices do you have in your home? Do you have maybe a smart speaker? Maybe you got a Nest thermostat? Or how about a robot vacuum? Maybe you're interested in making your home smarter. I think most of us are. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. George Webster, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing just great. What's the definition of a smart home?
Well, what a smart home is not is going to a hardware store and purchasing a Wi-Fi light bulb or a smart thermostat or a door lock or something. And instead, a smart home needs to be a way that we integrate the technology we already have in our homes, but make it so that it's easy to use and that the whole family can use it, not just the one smart person in the family that figured it all out. And that's the key. Just about everything has an app today, but what if we could say, instead of having a phone full of apps, what if we could have a single app that rules them all, where the house actually anticipates our needs and takes repetitive things that we do every day and simplifies it? That's really what the definition of a smart home is.
Man. And we can automate a whole lot of things in our homes, can't we? I mean, what all can we automate?
Sure. Technologies that we probably already have in our homes, such as security, lighting, whole house music, entertainment, intercom, heating and air conditioning. All those technologies are things that most of us already have in our homes, but they're not integrated. They don't talk to each other. They're not smart. And a modern smart home, you know, the analogy I like to make is it should be like our modern cars. If you, probably everyone who's listening just about has a car that has a centralized air conditioning system. You set it to 70, and it figures out whether it needs to run the heat or the air conditioning. The door, the lights turn on if it's dark out, and they turn off when you turn the car off. You have a centralized sound system in the car. We're simply taking those technologies that we already take for granted in our lives. I don't know, you can buy a car that doesn't have those technologies, and we're taking it and adding it to our homes. And it's actually kind of interesting that more people don't actually look at it that way and realize that our homes are actually quite dumb, whether it's a new home that's being built or an existing home. Yet we have these technologies in our home. We're just not integrating them well.
Yeah, and well, it's, you know, I'm thinking about my own home for just a minute here. Now, I've got a climate system in the house where it's a three-story home, and so I've got what they call zone heating and cooling.
Yep.
So the top floor is a whole lot different from the first floor when like on a summer day, it's going to be a lot hotter in the up there. Could a smart home take into account three levels?
Well, your home probably has thermostats and those extra.
Yes.
You said you had three stories, and yes, absolutely. So the way to look at it is this. We do things repetitively throughout our lives, living our lives. For example, we leave for work, and we have to remember to turn down those thermostats or turn them up depending on the time of year. But how many of us do actually remember to do that? Well, a smart home should not only be able to manage your home like that in terms of the HVAC control, but it should be able to automatically set that back as you leave. And then as you come home, to recognize that you've come home and turn the air back up or turn the heat back up. So you're not, you see, a smart home can be a sustainable home, can be a green home. And the whole goal is to take technologies we already take for granted in our homes, and we're just making them simple and easy to operate.
Gosh, how'd you get into this business, George?
Well, yeah, I've worked for Cease Electronics here in Appleton. I just celebrated 25 years. I've been in the industry for about 30. And it's one of those things that I don't know that any of us or many of us actually plan on what we're going to be doing in our lives, right? And it's just one of those things that I find technology fun and interesting. It changes. It's always evolving. And I found an employer that, I don't go hungry. I have plenty to do. I have new technology to keep me interested in. After a while, you just keep on keeping on. It's what you've done pretty much all your adult life after a while.
Yeah. I can just speak to that. I've been doing the same thing for a long, long time here myself. How popular are these smart features? Obviously, you're busy, so are you seeing more of these smart features being installed?
We are, and what's neat is the type of system that we're typically putting into people's homes are a company's system called Control4, and it's a modular system. What that means is, let's say you have interest in securing your home with smart locks, or you have interest in controlling the heating and air conditioning with a smart thermostat, or perhaps lighting control, the ability to control your lights. But let's say you don't have any interest in whole house music, or maybe you don't have much for television or something like that. You can get just the parts of the system that you find interesting and add on to it later. Years ago, we were one of the first dealers in the area to provide smart homes back in the mid-1990s. And at that time, it was only for new homes. So if you weren't building a home, we're sorry. There's nothing we can do. Where the systems today, especially by this Control4, have the ability to be integrated not only into new homes that are being built today, but also an existing home. I live in a home that's literally more than 100 years old, and I can integrate these systems into my home. It's not needed to be a new home construction. It can be existing homes.
Vern called, couldn't stay with us. He's wondering, he's worried about security protections that smart homes have so that they don't get hacked. And it also seems like the simpler things are, the less likely they are to break. So he's kind of worried about that, too.
Right. Well, from a security perspective, that's a great question. I'm glad that he brought it up. The systems that we provide are rock-solid security. That's not a concern. But here's where it becomes a concern. All these systems are password-protected. And we have a habit as a society of reusing the same passwords or making easy-to-guess passwords, your kids' birthdays or Go Pack One or something like that. So a strong password is always important. But also, these systems, Larry, run on a particular type of fuel. And that fuel is the network, the wired and wireless network that's in your home. And when you're working with a smart home pro, such as our company, we're also providing world-class Wi-Fi and secure networking so that the back doors or the ports that maybe a hacker or somebody could possibly get into is being managed by the people that know what they're doing. And at the end of the day, these systems are very secure, and it's not something to be worried about.
John wants to know which system seemed to be the most popular.
Well, again, our company provides Control4, which is an American company out of Salt Lake City, and we've sold their products for decades at this point, or at least since the early 2000s. And so from our perspective, that's very popular. There are other brands of companies that do it. But early on, I mentioned that I think sometimes people interpret a smart home as going to the hardware store on a rainy Saturday and buying a smart light bulb that you connect to the Wi-Fi or a door lock or a thermostat or something. And you end up with a phone full of apps. It's the equivalent of having a coffee table full of remotes. No one really knows how to make it all work. And I don't look at that as a smart home. I look at that as just maybe smart devices in a normal home. And really what happens is you end up with too many separate devices, too many apps. It's not easy to use. And that's the antithesis of the type of product that a smart home pro such as our company provides.
I'm wondering about the difficulty. I mean, I can see it would be, well, comparatively easy, let me put it that way, if you're building a new home.
Mm-hmm.
But how difficult is it to put in automation like this into an existing home?
It's not difficult, but it does require replacing. Let's say we were interested in putting some smart lights in someone's home. So the physical wiring that's in the house stays. The physical fixtures in the house stay. So the light fixtures, the chandelier, the recessed lighting, etc. But instead, the light switches themselves get changed to smart light switches. And they still operate like a light switch. They still use the same wiring that the old light switch did. But instead now, the light switch is connected to the central processor or brain of the system. And then that central processor knows where it is on Earth. It knows when the sun will set. It knows when the sun will rise. It knows what time of day it is. And then we set the system. So, for instance, you are coming home from work, something that all of us do several times a week. We have an armful of groceries. We unlock the door, and we're trying to walk into a darkened home with an armload of groceries, trying to turn on lights with our elbows. Instead, a smart lighting system like this, whether it's retrofitted into an existing home or it's a new home, as you unlock the door, the house knows it's you. It turns on a pathway of lights to the kitchen. It sets the heat, it turns the heat up, or it sets the air up. It turns off the security system. All you did was unlock the door with your code. And so these sort of things can be done in existing homes or with new homes.
Yeah. What? I want to ask you about costs, or have you think about costs for a minute. George Webster is our guest today, and he's general manager of Cease Electronics in Appleton. And I will tell you, Cease is spelled S-U-E-S-S, Cease Electronics in Appleton. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News. Coming up tomorrow on Garden Talk, we'll be visiting with the Green Bay Botanical Gardens folks. You'll get some top advice about your annuals from horticulture manager Lindsay Hendricks. That's tomorrow at 11. Right now, we're talking about how to make your home a smart home. And you can join in 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. Skip in Harshaw has a question for you, George. Let's go there. Hi, Skip.
Hi. So we built a home 5 years ago, and not thinking properly, I only put speakers in the grate for the...
Oh, Skip, we lost Skip. He only put speakers in his house in the grate room.
Sure.
And he wants it through the house.
Right. I think I can finish his question. Unfortunately, it sounds like his call dropped. Is that there are wireless speakers today. Now, a dirty little secret, there's still a wire plugs in for power until they invent wireless power. Things are always going to have a plug-in for power, right? But there are such things as wireless speakers made by manufacturers such as Sonos, Denon, Yamaha, others, that can be placed, on a nightstand in a bedroom or on the countertop in the bathroom or maybe in the, next to the toaster in the kitchen, that allow you to link them together to listen to your music or Wisconsin Public Radio, let's say. And my mom, who's in her 70s, has a system like that. She has an older home. Rather than the enormous cost of trying to retrofit speaker wire through the house, we ended up recommending that she use these wireless speakers. And again, they just plug in locally for power. And she just hits a single button, and she does listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. And every morning she gets up, she hits the button, and all three rooms of her house that she's interested in has this music playing. So there's really no labor or any effort or any construction to install something like this. Instead, it's just literally a wireless speaker that plugs in. But the key behind all this is it needs to have a quality network. I mentioned this before. This is the fuel that these systems run on. So, unfortunately, sometimes people have their router they bought in 1997, and they're still using it literally decades later. And that sort of thing is probably not going to be happy with the modern wireless speaker system. So be aware that it's probably important to have good, strong Wi-Fi in your house as well.
So what do you do when you go to somebody's house? Somebody says, I really want to make my house a smart house. What's the process like for you? You must have to go and sit down with a person and talk with them about what their needs are, I would think.
Well, it actually is different than that. Here in Appleton, we have a 33,000-square-foot facility. 22,000 square feet of it is showroom. And we've actually built a model home, a 1,200-square-foot model home in the middle of our showroom. Because what we find, Larry, is this sort of technology is very difficult to understand just by talking about it, albeit we're talking about it now. It's much easier to show someone in person. So we have a great room, we have a kitchen, we have a dining room, we have a fake basement, we have a den, and it shows off the various bits of technology that one can integrate into their homes. I can put the remote in the customer's hand, or I can show them what I mean by smart lighting, or I can discuss simplifying the entertainment system, or what whole house music means, and how would it look, and how does it sound. And so oftentimes we're meeting with our clients here in our showroom so that we can show them these things. We think that's a much more powerful way of doing it than, you know, referring to a picture of a project you did once or just simply discussing about arcane subjects and instead just demonstrating it in person. I think that's the best way to do it, and that's how we've choose to do it, and it seems to work well.
Yeah, it makes really good sense. Ed in Northern Illinois wants to know how much it would cost for an install. He said, is this going to cost $100,000, or there are sort of options that people who can't afford the high cost work with?
Well, you know, it's like asking how much does a car cost. I think most of us say, well, a car costs X or Y. Well, the reality is a car could be the $500 rusty jalopy that's being sold in the corner, or it could be $1 million Bugatti, you know, supercar or something like that, and everywhere in between. So these sort of systems are affordable. We are installing them all the time, but they also can be very expensive if the homeowner is interested in it's a large home with a lot of integration. I suppose it can get expensive, but the best part of all is that it's piecemeal. It's modular. You can do just the parts that you want. For instance, if we presented a proposal that said it was going to be X to do the smart lighting in someone's house, and they said, well, you know, I can afford that, but I'm not going to. I have to buy cabinets or something else. Well, then we just do, let's say, the main living area, or we just do the kitchen and the pathway in from the mudroom and the garage. And then next year, the year after, we're adding additional parts in to round out the system. So it can be a build-up approach. And frankly, most technology in our lives can be expensive at first blush. We all have smartphones in our pockets now. A smartphone's $1,000. Would any of us 20 years ago imagine spending $1,000 every couple of years to buy a new smartphone? Well, no. But we can't live without them either, right? So it's a matter of understanding that this isn't something that's just fun or interesting or hobbyists. This is designed to simplify and change our lives. The analogy that I made about the vehicle having this sort of technology, in fact, my parents had a car in 1984. I remember growing up in the 1980s that the lights came automatically, turned on when it was dark, and they turned off when you got out of the car. And, you know, that sort of technology becomes acceptable and therefore affordable over time.
Here's an interesting question from Judy in Fitchburg. Does your company also tell prospective customers about the Inflation Reduction Act and the financial benefits of electrifying so many home systems?
Well, I don't know anything about the Inflation Reduction Act, so I can't speak on that. But she does bring up a point that I think is important, and I briefly mentioned it before, that a smart home is a sustainable home. Is when we are, what I mean by that is the automation is when you leave the home that the lights turn off and the thermostat sets back. If you had a fireplace, the fireplace turns off, et cetera. So from that perspective, a smart home can save people money just on their utility costs, but also, it's better for the earth. Even though individually it might only be a little bit of money that you're saving, you multiply that by every home, and it becomes a real number.
Yeah, have you ever done the math on it, how much a smart home could help save money on your energy bills?
Well, we have. Here's an example. We put in a smart lighting system. We rarely run the lights at 100%. Instead, we tell the system that when someone turns on the light to turn it on to 90%, the human eye doesn't perceive the difference between 90% and 100% of light very well. To us, it's as bright as it needs to be. But yet, because we're running the lights at 90% less or at 10% less power, you're saving 10% less electricity, right?
Sure.
Right? So from that perspective, that's easy math. You know, you automatically are spending less, 10% less on your lighting because of the smart lighting being set only to 90%.
Here's another question in relation to speakers. This goes back to our earlier. Can you get speakers to work together for this? Somebody else wonders, can you get speakers to work together for surround sound, or will multiple speakers all output the same kind of basic sound?
So generally when we're putting a house wide sound system in, or whole house sound system in, whether they're wireless speakers or a wired speaker, it is set up so that it is what's called multi-zone. So that means that you have the Packer game on in the great room. You have people over, so you have the grill going out on the deck. So therefore, at the same time as the Packers playing in the great room, you have the play-by-play over there that's, say, playing out on the deck. And maybe the kids are not interested in the football, so they're down in the basement playing video games or something. They could be listening to yet a third type of music downstairs all at the same time. So a multi-zone system does allow you to have a house full of music, and it can be the same thing everywhere, or it can be individual dad's music, mom's music, kids' music, et cetera. It's a great question.
Yeah, and so there's a button downstairs to push if you want a certain kind of thing, or how does that work?
Right, so that's a great question. So what you're referring to is interface. So how does one interface with their home? Well, there's multiple ways to do that. It could be through an app on your smartphone. It could be through a touchscreen that's on the wall or a keypad that's on the wall. It can be through voice. Some of our smart home systems, you literally say, turn on, ESPN, and the TV turns on and goes to ESPN. So there's the goal is ease and simplicity, not complexity. These are not really intended for hobbyists, although happy to help people that are interested from a hobby perspective. These are intended for every person. And who wants to fight with a handful of remotes or the difficulty of running things? So the whole goal of these systems is simplicity and to make our lives easier, not to make them more complex.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, actually, I would think that this smart technology could have some effect on resale value of a home.
I think so. It's common for people to contact us that say that they bought, you know, Dr. Smith's home or whatever, that we would have put one of these systems in, you know, some years ago when they bought the house, and I'll come over and introduce our company to them, and that we'd be their point of contact, their guy, so to speak, if they have questions. We decommission the system from the previous owner and commission it for them so that their music streaming services are in their name, not in the former owner's name, and go over operation. And it's actually a common thing, and it does help with resale value, in the sense that who wouldn't want one of these things?
For sure. So, but the main goal, I mean, it sounds like the main thing is that control system, that Control 4 system that you use.
Yeah. Yes, right. Control 4, Salt Lake City. It's early on, smart home systems were only for new construction. And Control 4 looked at it and said, when you take off in an airplane and you're kind of looking down on your city as you're flying out to wherever you're going, and you look down to all the homes that you can see as you take off the airport, how many of those homes do you see that are new being built now? Very few. How many homes are existing homes that you see? All of them. And they're looking at it saying, why should we limit ourselves to just the people that are building a new home? It should be something that we can integrate with all homes.
It sounds like a really good operation. And you have a website, do you not, George?
Yes, we do. CeaseElectronics.com. And Cease is spelled unusually. It's spelled S-U-E-S-S, CeaseElectronics.com. And our company has been in business. It'll be 74 years this summer. And I've worked here 25 years of that 74 years. So.
George, a great pleasure talking with you today. I learned a lot in a very short time, and I appreciate your time, and maybe we can do this again. Thank you.
Thank you.
George Webster, General Manager of Cease Electronics. Great to have him with us. Appreciate his time very much. Man, that it sounds like a wonderful thing to do to a home. And I want to thank you for listening in. It's a big team effort here. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and, of course, our executive director is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News, and stay with us. Lots more in store.